listening to This Woman Can, episode 23 with Jubilanti Cutting, Be Intentional About Failure. Welcome to This Woman Can, the women's leadership podcast and your source of information related to women's leadership, female entrepreneurship, personal success and career advancement. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, executive coach, leadership development expert, and the author of This Woman Can, the No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. And now, this week's episode. So welcome back. Hi, everybody. And thank you for joining me on This Woman Can. Now, this week, my guest this week is a very impressive young lady, I must say, when I read her bio. She was recommended to me by another interviewee, and it's Jubilanti Cutting. Now, I'm not going to say too much about Jubilanti. I want her to introduce herself and tell us a little bit more about herself and the journey she's on at the moment. So, ladies, gentlemen, if you're listening, welcome Jubilanti Cutting.
Good day, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Ms. Sutton. Just a little more on myself. Well, I'm currently 22 years old, and I'm currently enrolled at the Wooding Law School in Trinidad and Tobago. To reach for my legal education certificate, and this certificate will allow me to practice law in Guyana and the Caribbean. But aside from those academic pursuits at the moment, I'm also heavy and passionate about technology, innovation, creativity, and business. And so I founded my own organization, the Guyana Animation Network. Our main aim is really to provide training opportunities for young people in Guyana and the region so that they'll be able to become immersed in the digital and creative industry, specifically in animation and the cinematography related areas. So with that organization, I have been able to do 3 series of summer camps every August. And each year, we really improve and increase on the level of work and the scope that we really put into young people. So in our first year, we began with digital painting, and that was done, digital and traditional painting, and that was done using the Wacom tablets that are used internationally for animations. In our second year, we did illustration, and the illustration was done, training was done using the Adobe Illustrator software. That was a phenomenal exercise, and we collaborated with the university, which allowed us to have access to the computers free of cost, and also to be able to train members of the university staff as well as their children. In our third year, we did comic art training, and this was this was something that was beyond the norm. There has never been comic art training done in Guyana, especially from a youth-led organization. And so this is something that we did, and it was well received by many, so much so that we were able to receive sponsorship from UNICEF, which is known as one of the largest organizations that deal with children's rights and their access to various resources. So that was phenomenal. In our fourth year, we're looking forward to doing training in animation. And so currently we're on a mission to procure and collaborate with companies that have animation as center focus and would be willing to come to the Caribbean, come to Guyana to really impact the lives of young people. So that's just a bit of the work that I'm doing. And my journey so far has been a phenomenal one. It has been a learning experience, both business-wise as well as training and networking. So I look forward to everything else that the business has in store for me.
That's incredible. That's incredible because you're young yourself. Now, I'm just trying to get the connection here, Jubilanti, because you say you're studying law at university.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you have the digital, the tech side. How do the two come together? Or do they?
Yes, they do. But at first, they didn't. more of a passion. I was girls in ICT initiative that was held by CARICOM, which is the Caribbean Community and Regional Organization for all CARICOM member states that have signed on to the Treaty of Chagaramas. And so when they had this first initiative for young women, I attended as a high school student, and it was something that intrigued me. What is girls in ICT? How can we fit in? And it was there at that event I was able to interact with members of CARICOM who are into ICT for development, culture, education, and they connected us with various women leaders that have jobs in technology and really make impact. And at that event, I was also able to meet Miss Camille Selvon Abraham. She is the founder of the Anime Caribbean Festival in Trinidad and Tobago. Yes. And that is known as one of the largest animation festivals in the Caribbean. And after connecting with her there and the members of CARICOM, saw our chemistry, they invited me to be a part of her Animating the Caribbean workshop that was also held in Ghana later that year. However, while at this event, I realized that I'm not artistically inclined. It was a good opportunity, but I'm not artistically inclined. And I felt like there were so many other persons that I knew could have benefited from this initiative more than I did. Wow. And when I was there, I said to myself, when I do get the opportunity to enable persons to have this level of access, I will take it. And it was a lovely event after the activity again. Myself and another colleague, we were shortlisted to attend the festival.
Right.
So this is me, high school student.
Yes.
But getting access to the opportunities just because of my passion and level of involvement and intrigue and curiosity.
Yeah.
And when I attended the festival, it was mind-blowing. I just remembered sitting in one of the sessions when there were students from high schools like mine there. And they were standing and pitching various gaming and other ideas they had. And right. then I saw there were entrepreneurs in the session that came forward and said, I like your idea. Yeah. Let's speak afterwards. I'm willing to sponsor this wow. amount. And I was like, what? Is this really happening at my age in another country that's only 45 minutes away from mine? And we have no idea that this yeah. is happening. And it's been happening for some time. And it was there that I made the decision. So when I get back to Guyana, I will start an organization, and I will ensure that young people have this level of access. And when I first pitched it to my mentors at CARICOM, they thought that I was crazy, and you know, I was just overly excited. But I was once I commit my mind to something and yeah. I say, God, this is what I want to do, I do it. And so all of the connections that I've made while at the festival, such as there were representatives from EA Games.
Right.
And one of the artists for the Sims 4 game, he was there. I connected with him, and thankfully he's Trinidadian by birth. So he wow. understood the level of passion yes. that I had towards this.
Yes.
And he agreed to come later the next year to actually come to Guyana and do some training. I also met persons like the artist and storyboarder for SpongeBob. I met colleagues from Jamaica who also founded the Jamaica Animation Nation Network. There were persons from Disney, a wide range of persons that I was able to connect with. And it was through those opportunities that I was able to bring the resources to Guyana.
Right.
And so Kaifas came the next year. That was my beta test to see if there are really young people interested in
yeah.
this. And he came. The impact was phenomenal. I think after we launched, I was working with a nonprofit then, and they had an event called Just Youth Conference,
yes.
which is a yearly conference for youth. And I told him, I said, this is an element, animation. I want to have it featured in the conference. I have the resource. I'll just need to raise the funds to bring him here. And everything that needed to be done was done. And he came. And when we initially launched that he was coming, the response rate for the conference went up significantly.
Yeah.
Even from persons who had no artistic interest, they just wanted to know, what is this animation
yeah.
thing?
Yeah.
And that was a major success. The names of the young people that attended that initiative, I kept their contact. I maintained contact with them. So when the Guyana Animation Network was ready to be launched, founded, and to have initiatives, those were some of the initial persons that I had come in, work with me, work on the events, benefit from the events. And so that's essentially how I became involved in this, from an opportunity standpoint, but I was also studying at the same time. So the balance, at first I didn't see the connection, but I feel that in law, we learn to be advocates.
Yes.
And we learn to be better advocates. Every day you learn something new, you learn a different way. You just learn it it's a learning process.
Right.
So what law has enabled me to do is to be a better advocate. That's one. And two, I did not have the high technical expertise when it came to establishing my own business, nonprofit, how to manage it. And it was through studying law that I was able to know what are some of the better ways that I can do the things that I do to manage the business well, ensure that it has all of its documents in order. And so those are things that I do on my own because I've been able to study it.
Yes.
And I know. So it has a connection, and now that I'm more into the law, will be practicing, and also I will be highly engaged in terms of bringing development to Guyana. I will focus on, for example, contributing to legislation, contributing to national projects with a legal expertise, with a legal eye. So this is something that does have a major connection. They're major industries. Law and technology are currently major industries in the world that you need to function as a country.
Excellent, excellent. And let me just get this perspective, Jubilante. You know, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you right now?
I'm 22.
See, so, you know, this is like, you know, kudos to you, you know, because what you've told me has been quite a few years you've been doing this already. Yeah. So from a high school through to a young woman, you know, who's still, I suppose, still finding her feet in her career.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it doesn't matter what age, when the passion bites you and you feel it, you've got to go with it. So Jubilante, what makes you tick? What makes you get up and do this in the morning and keep going?
Well, I have several things that make me tick. One of the main ones is development of any kind. Speaking from as small as an idea to as large as a nationwide project for impact, as long as I hear the word development or think of development, I begin to tick. How can I develop myself? How can I help somebody to develop something? That always makes me tick. Also, when I see injustice and I see there's opportunities to advocate, those things make me tick. Every time I hear about a mooting competition, and I was helping my friend to understand the difference between a mooting competition and a debating competition.
Right.
In law, we refer to it as mooting.
Yeah.
And that's where your arguments are based on legal principles and concepts, and you have to know what is really applicable to given scenarios. And so I love to moot because the scenarios can change at any time, and a lot of times they help you to be able to stand on your feet if you're put on the spot in any given case or circumstance. So I love to moot. And mooting allows me to advocate. Mooting allows me to stand up for justice. And so every time I think or see there's a mooting competition opportunity, I tick. Even if it's something I don't know, I tick. So much so that I was the first year at the University of Ghana to go up for an international competition when that does not happen. It usually begins from second year. And the professor did not know that I was a first year student. He just love my arguments in a mooting competition and said she's going, until it was too late and he realized you're a first year student. You know, but that made me tick, and I did my best to be at that point. Youth development is something that makes me tick, and my favorite quote is by someone I look up to. His name is Kofi Annan, and later I will share on how God was able to bring myself and Mr. Annan in a similar space so that he was able to impact my life before he passed earlier this year. So his words on youth development and him saying that youth should be at the forefront of global change and innovation, those words really inspired me to be empowered enough to lead change and innovation.
Right.
And finally, there are just three other things that make me tick. Adventure. I love adventure.
Right.
I love every opportunity to travel and to see new places, see new cultures, interact with new people. And finally, technology. Last night, I was having such a hard time getting my camera feature on my laptop to work.
Right.
And I was like, why is this showing up? This has never happened before. So I went on Google. I saw some features. They said to do something to the computer. And I was like, okay, I'm not seeing these features on my computer. So then I saw something that looked strange. And I said, let me go into that. And I started to play around with it. And I fixed the problem. So I didn't need to call Lenovo or go to a technician and pay a lot of money. I mean, I always find a way with technology. I always find my way in coming to quick solutions to problems I have. And so technology makes me tick.
So Jivalanta, let me ask you this question, because as I said, you're a young woman. And I'm trying to paraphrase this question, but people look at you and see youth. And you're talking with some people who are probably in more mature, maybe senior positions, you know, who may sometimes just dismiss you because, you know, she's a young woman. What does she know? So how do you convince people to listen to you? You know, we know children are the future and the youth are the future, but you know, some people's ears are still hard. So how do you get them to listen to you and take you seriously?
That's a very good question, I must say, because it actually is central to the work that I've been doing in Guyana and the fact that I have had to convince persons, first, because I'm female, and second, because I'm studying law. They couldn't see the connection with law and what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so having to convince persons from the outset that this is something that's good. It doesn't matter how I look or what I'm studying, it's something that's good. And if you or anyone that you know has the expertise and skills that is needed for this thing that can make it better, then why not contribute? So I have found, and there's senior persons in politics, senior persons in business and law and all over that I have been interacting with, and some of them are easier to communicate with because of their awareness. They read a lot. But the others who do not read a lot, there are some that read, but I think that the past generation, sometimes they have a difficulty in seeing where the modern technologies and where youth fit in.
Yeah.
And so as a young person, and also showing them the impact of modern technology globally, because they've never seen it before, it makes it hard for them to actually think it can happen.
So after
extensive time of trying to convince certain persons in the political arena, especially, to really think of this area, to invest in it, I decided, you know what, I'm not going to convince them by words anymore. I'm going to do action. And it was from there that I started to connect with my colleagues abroad, connect with businesses abroad, and have them help me to make the change that I wanted to see, instead of waiting for the government or waiting for someone in business to do it. In addition to that, I found that by having connections like Ms. Britton and mentors like her who are mature and understand it from a youth perspective, they are also able to influence their colleagues to give us the opportunity to say the things that we think are needed in development and have them act on it. So I think that a lot of times, as long as we just get one toe in the door, that toe can influence the both feet. And it's just true that I have been able to. And other times, it's a matter of being humble.
Yeah.
Sometimes it may not be the right season, and sometimes you may not be using the right words.
Some
of my mentors, they really helped and guided me to, your vision is fine, anyone would love it, but let's change the words you use. Let's change the focus. Let's make it national. Let's make it global. And then guide them through to that. And it was through self-mentorship that I was able to improve. And I was able to actually impact persons I thought I never would.
Yeah.
And finally, I would say that prayer has been a significant help in terms of helping the ears that would not otherwise hear me to hear me. And I found that there were several times, even convincing to do things for a regional purpose that caused a lot of, you know, antagonism, especially for persons who were in the industry before I was. They weren't doing these things, and then they were wondering, who is this young person that's now coming up and think that she knows it? It wasn't that I think I knew it. It's just that, let's just do something.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times I found myself having to pray and to ask God to give me the right words to say, give me the right approach, give me, and a lot of times when I did pray and he guided me, some of these persons were so shocked. They were thinking like, there must be something with you that made sense, or that actually impacted us more than just you, the person. And I would attribute that to my prayer life and really having God guide me when it comes to interacting with more mature persons, because that requires a lot of wisdom.
Right. And I like what you said about communication, because people often misconstrue that communication is just saying the words. If I'm just saying the words, I'm communicating. Well, as you pointed out, there are different words for different audiences. There's, you know, your body language. There's how and when you communicate. Yeah. So it really is almost, you know, it is a skill in itself, just having that right communication to make sure your message gets heard. Because as you said, people can just look at you and say, she's a young girl, what does she know? You know, I'm a big woman, I'm a big man, you know, I don't have to listen. So kudos to you to kind of finding that right understanding pretty quickly that, you know, I need to adjust. It's like turning your radio, you know, to tune in to the right channel to get through the person to listen, to get to the person to listen.
Yeah.
So Jubilante, you talked about, obviously, you know, meeting these people and having to have these conversations, but how has failure made a positive difference in your life?
So failure has always made a positive difference in my life. I have learned from a very young age that failure is an ordinary part of life. And even though it's not always ideal or always desirable, it's definitely one way that we learn to be a better version of ourselves. And one of the things that I have always said that encourages me when I fail or to cope with failure is that I'll do what the best do when I know better. And when I know better, I'll do better. And so oftentimes when I find that I may fail in an area, I always look to see what is the best doing in this area. I imitate that, and then I improve it to suit the circumstances. And so I know that it is only when you know better that you can actually do better.
Right.
And so sometimes failure comes from that lack of knowledge and the lack of know-how. And it is only if you're willing to be a better version of yourself and be a better version of whatever it is, you will have an open mind to wanting to know better, to wanting to do better, to wanting to learn. And so my mother, she has always said that she loves that is my approach. She knows even in academics that I'm not the type of person to, if I fail, get really upset and to get really to cry and to not move forward. She knows me to be the person that says, okay, I failed here, I'm going to work at it, work really hard to ensure that I know what is it that I have to do. And when I know what I have to do, I excel. And another thing too is that I find that in dealing with failure, we have to be intentional about it. If you're intentional about, I have failed, I know where I have failed, then you will be intentional about, these are the steps I need to take to improve this failure. And so I started to be intentional about improving my failures. At one point when I was really low, I felt like I would never past a season of failure I was experiencing, or I felt it to be failure. And I was saying to God, help me, because I don't know why is it that I felt that I was doing such a bad job. And it was because I had no understanding of what I had to do. I didn't know what I had to do, and I was just working based on I'm doing.
Yes.
So
yes, yes.
I felt, because I wasn't getting the results, I felt like I was failing, and I was failing miserably. And then God started to place some persons in my life that actually showed me what is it that I had to do. And when I saw what it is that I had to do and what I was actually doing, it wasn't far from what it was that I had to do. I just had to know, change my perspective and be intentional about taking where I was to where I should be.
Yeah.
And that is that. Those are the two ways that I have dealt with failure. Seeing it as positive and also being intentional about improving.
And I love that, because that shows to me a level of resilience, and it's a very underrated skill set, is resilience, is having that bounce back. It's like you say, not letting that failure, that disappointment floor you completely. It's like, okay, it happened. Let me take a step back. What do I do differently? What have I learned? How do I move forward? So yes, I love that. And the phrase intentional about failure, I love it. love it. So Jubilante, as I said, you're still very young, and I'm going to ask this question, but it's probably yet to come in the future still, but what has been your biggest career triumph?
When I thought about this, I've been thinking about this really long and hard. What has been my biggest career triumph? And I think I have two. Well, there may be several mini ones, but for now I think I have two. I would say that one of my biggest career triumphs has been recently, when I graduated, or will be graduating, second in my class at university, my bachelor's in law. And I saw this as a triumph because my final year was a rough year. It came with a lot of blessings, but a lot of work and a lot of training and a lot of things that God was molding me to do or to become. And I felt that it was excruciating, because I was accustomed to, okay, if I have to study for exams, that's my only focus. And not having to study for exams, do work here, do this project, do this, do that. And every time I tried to find a way to clear everything and to focus in the way I was accustomed to doing it, more work came, more challenges came.
Yeah.
And I was always wondering, like, God, how am I supposed to cope if these challenges are here? And it was just this way of saying to me, like, this is life. You have to learn to still excel while facing numerous challenges. And so when I got my grades and I placed second in my class, I was just like, what? How? Why? But I'm grateful, because it has been 3 years of hard work and prayer.
Yeah.
3 years of really putting a lot into studying law, an area that I wanted to initially run from.
Yeah.
But yes, I wanted to run from it, but he just redirected me. This is the direction I wanted you to go in. And so it was through taking that guidance and also being resolved and just trying to cope with everything that I would see this achieving second in my class as a major failure. I always want to be first, but I see the second as a first because of the level of things that I encountered. And I would say that the second one was actually getting a sponsor, a tuition sponsor for law school. I see that as one of my biggest career triumphs as well, because I wrote to, please don't scream at the amount, but I wrote to about 40 companies, businesses. I wrote to so much, because I'm a person that thinks on contingency, and I always think, if I may fail, let me do 10. If 10 may fail, let me do 20. And it was because of my contingency mindset that I was like, okay, I did 20, just let me do 10 more. I did 30, just let me do 10 more. And that's why it ended up being 40. But I think that even though I wrote to so many companies, a few responded favorably, and I ultimately got the sponsor I needed, I found that that was God's way of saying to me, I will take care of you. And so even though I was trying to find all of the contingencies, he was still saying, it doesn't matter how many of these companies you write to, I will take care of you with this one. And so I saw that as a big triumph for me, because it means that in my career moving forward, I should not be scared or dependent or fearful that the necessary resources won't fall into place, because he has proven that he will take care of me.
Because it's like they say if plan A fails, there are 25 more letters in the alphabet. You know, so keep on going, because it will happen.
Hey you, have you worked your tail off to advance your career but still don't have the salary to show for it? Have you spent years beating yourself up for being underpaid, somehow believing that it's your fault? Have you convinced yourself that when I'm good enough, I'll be recognised and earn the money I deserve? Or maybe you just want to negotiate but lack confidence and have no idea when or what to ask for? No problem, I got you. Through my Confident Negotiate and Get Paid Your Worth in 8 weeks programme, you'll learn how to negotiate the salary and benefits you deserve and gain the confidence to speak up for yourself as I guide you through the secrets to earning more money in your career. From cheat sheets, ready-to-use scripts and group coaching, you'll learn all the skills you need to stop leaving money on the table. Now, if you're ready to take action and learn how you can negotiate your salary like a boss, head over to thiswomancan.coach. And since you're listening to the This Woman Can podcast, I want to invite you to get my free guide, Be Unafraid to Get Paid. Now, back to the show.
So, Jubilante, you come across a very confident young lady. But are there times where you do have challenges with confidence? And how do you navigate those?
That's a very good question.
I have more.
Yes. And it's a tough question too, because when I think about confidence, everything, and especially in doing law, everything requires confidence, but not overconfidence or cockiness or haughtiness, but everything requires confidence, and that is a belief that you can do it and you're capable of doing it. And so sometimes I find that I may feel inadequate in myself, but then there are two things that have always kept me when it came to navigating and dealing with confidence issues. Those two things have always been prayer, and I call it the two P's, prayer and practice.
Okay.
And practice involves research, involves working to rise above whatever that confidence issue is. And I find that it is only, as I said earlier, only when we know better, then we're in a position to do better. And it is from having that know-it-all that we become confident in knowing that we can achieve whatever it is that we want to achieve. So I find that by praying, if I find I have a difficulty, if I find that my confidence is going to be diminished because of certain circumstances, I always ask God, like, how can I deal with this? Because when you don't have confidence, you feel it.
Yes.
And you feel the level of inadequacy. And sometimes you can't even go through the day well because you're just thinking about this thing. And I always say, I get frustrated and I say, God, like, that's my way of dealing with the frustration, talking to him, because when I do it, he's going to sort it out in his time. And so I try to leave it like, God, I put it out there. I put it out there that I'm having this difficulty. Help me to make it better. And then it may not come in the way that I want it to come. And that's where practice comes in, because he might say, oh, check this out. Or he might send somebody to say, hey, you. So, you know, different things fall into place with practice. And it is, when you know what is that better way to operate, or when you know what it is that you need to do to improve that confidence in a particular area, to be able to speak in front of an audience, to be able to come on a podcast with Miss Janice Sutherland, to be able to do your work. You know, when you need the confidence to be able to navigate different circumstances and situations, he is going to equip you, but you have to put in the work. You have to practice too. You have to find a better way of doing a thing that makes you comfortable, but at the same time, you're able to exude confidence and not fear or nervousness.
Fabulous, fabulous. And my goal with this is getting more young women, more women, just to listen to, what can be achieved. So what advice would you share with women embarking maybe on their own leadership journey or their own career journey? What would you share with them?
What I'd share is very simple, like Nike, just do it.
Yes.
And I believe there's nothing that can stop you from being your best on whichever journey you choose to be on. The only thing that can stop you is you. So tell yourself, I'm going to do this, and do it, because you need to achieve whatever it is that you need to achieve for the benefit of some or many. And so if you inhibit yourself, you actually prevent those persons or person from benefiting from you. So just do it, be flexible with your methods, but do not compromise certain fundamental values that have kept you up to this point. And so that's something I would advise, because as women and as aspiring leaders, and even as women leaders, we compromise a lot of things that are fundamental to us, and it ends up hurting the process more than helping it. So be flexible with methods. Yeah. Be flexible on the getting there. Be flexible on the strategy, the solution, but your fundamental values and principles that have kept you, do not compromise on them.
Totally, totally agree. Now, let me just expand on that a little bit. You talked about we compromise on things. Yes, we could have a long conversation about that. What have you seen? What do you think women compromise on? What holds them back?
This is the touching and more sensitive part of the conversation that actually is like, there's so much to say, but I always boil it down to this. It is an individual thing, personal, as well as it's extrinsic. It happens also on the outside.
Yeah.
And what I mean by both is that as women, sometimes we put, as cliche as it may sound, sometimes we put others, or we allow others to put us back or to hold us back by giving them more power than they should have when it comes to making fundamental decisions for ourselves.
Thank you.
So I find in it being such a personal thing, I find that we give people so much power when it comes to making decisions for us, and in ourselves we become uncomfortable and we say, hey, this isn't the outcome I wanted, but guess what, you give someone else the power to make the decision for you.
Yes.
And I remember one of my cousins, and this comes back, it's one of my cousins, she said be selfish about your work. And I didn't understand what she meant. Like, what do you mean, be selfish? I don't know what this to be selfish. And she said, yes, be selfish about your work. What she was saying to me essentially is not to be selfish to others.
Yeah.
But there are some times when you need to focus on making your goals a priority, the same way you would for someone else. You're not giving them the power to let you make things to them a priority. You're giving yourself the power to make the things that you want to do a priority for you. And I was in a better position to understand what my cousin meant when I was doing an activity early this year. It was around March or April. However, a few months before, in December, I did my examination for my license, my driver's license. And in order for me to actually get the license, I would have to go in and conduct the business. But 3 months, two or 3 months after I did the exam, I still didn't have my license.
Yeah.
So I met with a female pastor just casually over some business we were talking, and she said, don't you have your license yet? And I said, no, man, I'm going to take care of that, man. And I started making a whole lot of excuses about what I didn't have to do for somebody or what I didn't have to do. And then she said, if you had to get that license done for someone else, you would have already gotten it, right?
Yes.
And that was the moment I saw myself literally saying yes, and almost in tears, that for the first time, someone in my 22, 21 years, someone actually brought it to my attention that a lot of times I was busying myself and doing things to others and not ever putting the things that really concerned me first.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about me being selfish or me not being able to do things to others, but it was just me seeing that the same level of importance that I would put on something else or put for someone else, I should do for me too.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times as women, we hold ourselves back because we deprive our individual selves of, you know, the aura of being priority, the aura of feeling important too, because we think we don't need to. And on the extrinsic end, we allow persons, we give them the power, in fact, to tell us, oh, do this for me, do that for me, do this, make my thing priority, make my thing priority. And we never take take the time to step back and say, well, you know what? Maybe I should do something for me today.
Yeah.
And so I find myself, even though I am always helping, always working on something for someone else, when I think that I need to take the step back to focus on me, I take it without any apology.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that. And again, one of my little mantras is that self-care isn't selfish, it's self-preservation. You know, because I'm a big believer if you go down, actually everything else, whoever else depending on you also goes down. So, and, you know, as women, we're taught to nurture, we're taught to put other people ahead of ourselves. And it's actually one of the things I cover in my book, because we're also uncomfortable with setting boundaries, you know, or being able to say no. And sometimes saying no is a very positive thing, and that little tiny word can be very, very powerful. But both ways, you know, it can actually make you or break you. So I'm really glad you recognize that. I'll hold you in great stead. throughout your career, definitely.
I agree with what you said earlier, because that's something that I also have always thought about. Sometimes persons think that you need to be on demand all of the time.
Yeah.
But some of the greatest leaders understand that you must take quiet time. You must take that peace time, that solitude time, to really think back and reflect on life in order to launch forward and be the better version of yourself. Look at Jesus, for example. There are times he took to pray, to preserve himself, to remove himself from the constant upheaval. There are other leaders who've taken the time to write a book or just to shut the start of your schedule. And so nothing is wrong with taking that step back or that time back to make yourself a priority, because that will only enhance who you are for the benefit of others, as you rightly said earlier.
Definitely. And you know, and you always come, but you always come back that stronger, re-energized and refreshed.
And refreshed.
So Jubilante, share with us a success quote or a mantra that you use. And why it's meaningful for you?
I have three.
I shouldn't be surprised, really.
I have three. The first one I have is, he who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. And this is actually taken from the Bible in Luke. And I believe that for success, it requires a lot of humility. And sometimes we are not always humble. Sometimes the success gets to our head, and then there will be tragic circumstances that humble us to get us to the point where we can actually think clearly about the next steps that we need to take. So I think that as we humble ourselves, God is going to exalt us and put us into places and spheres to be successful. But when we become exalted, or when we come too haughty about where we are at and what we've achieved, your circumstances that will bring us down back to where we need to be, to see clearly and to think clearly. And it's not always as nice as I'm making it sound.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be very painful, but it's through that pain that sometimes we can find a lot of great things coming out of it. The second mantra I have about success is that it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by his spirit. And I rely on this as a believer, because sometimes if we think that we can get things done, if we, you know, we have the power to do it, and if we, you know, it's all about us and what we can do, but sometimes it's really about what God wants for us. And it is only when we know what he wants for us and the steps that we need to take according to His will, that we ultimately achieve the success, in my view.
Right.
Because I believe as long as I make my will subject to His, there are things that I don't need to do to be successful, and they will be chiseled off. And there are other things that I need to do that will take me to that point, and I will feel, you know, I did it. I know I did it. And my final quote, as I said earlier, is one that was said by Mr. Kofi Annan. I don't know it verbatim, but I know his words were that youth should be at the forefront of global change and innovation. Empowered, they will be key agents of change. And this is something that actually inspired me to begin my journey as a youth, wanting to stir up change, wanting to launch my own organization. After I saw those words, they made me so emotional. That is actually someone on earth that believes in us and believes that we can make meaningful contribution to nation, to region, and internationally. And that was Mr. Kofi Annan. And thankfully, it was last year, I think November, December, I was the recipient and winner of the Nelson Mandela Grass and Michelle Innovation Awards that allowed me to travel to Fiji to receive my own certificate signed by Grassa, as well as the financial award that I won for the individual category as youth activist. And the presenter of my award was actually Mr. Kofi Annan.
Look at that.
And I cried.
Yeah.
I cried. He presented my award by video. And I cried because I was saying, God, you have a very strange sense of humor. I don't know how the organizers knew that. I don't even know if they knew.
Yes.
I was so fascinated by his words as a young person. And then to this point where this was the same person that presented my award. There were other world leaders from the elders movement that presented other awards. But I had coffee.
Yes.
And so I cried. It was such an emotional moment, and they did like a really nice poster with him saying something about my work, and my picture was there, and it again encouraged me to continue to work, continue to serve, continue to do the things that I believe in. So his passing was actually a very emotional moment for me, because I wanted to actually physically meet him one day, but I know that his words were strategic and they were said at the right time that I needed to hear it.
Excellent. And well done on that.
Thank you.
So do you want to go back a few years, and what advice would you give to your teenage self now?
I've been pondering on this for some time. What advice would I give to my teenage self? I would say to my teenage self, do not compromise on fundamental values and principles that you have and you hold. They have kept you to this point, and it is because of those values and principles that you are able to do the things that you're able to do. And a lot of times when you tried to deviate from those principles, you found yourself in trouble. So I'm encouraging you to don't think that you need to compromise in order to fit in. Don't think that you need to compromise in order to achieve. Be you. Be that you. Be the person that you know you to be, and others will receive you. But be humble. Don't be haughty and, you know, cocky about it. Be humble and know that it is only because of the grace of God that you are where you are today. You came a long way, and He will ensure that you get to the point that He needs to take you. So don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Don't feel inadequate. Don't think that you need to fit in or that you need to. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Be you.
Yeah.
And love you. And that's what I would say to my teammates. So
And that's interesting. So, you know, because you're an exceptional woman. You're an exceptional young woman. So, and I would, I'd hazard a guess there aren't many who probably have your thought process or think the way you think. And for a young person growing up to today with the age of social media, I'm fortunate not to have grown up with that, not giving away my age, but I don't think I really want to be in that environment. So how do you deal from, I suppose, from a peer pressure point of view? Because, you know, you're doing something, you probably have done for quite a while, done something that your peers would like, but you are supposed to be fetting, or, you know, party or music or running down boyfriends. How do you deal with that?
How do I deal with it? Well, I will be as frank as frank can be. Yeah. How have I dealt with it? So I've always said to my friends that everything that they are doing now and everything that they are finding fascinating now, I've tested the water. I'm not a very outrageous and outgoing person.
Yeah.
To say that I've done the most outrageous and ridiculous things, but the simple things like, okay, let's go to a party. A lot of my high school friends, they had birthday parties, and a lot of these birthday parties were like parties. So yeah. I went, I knew that it was not my vibe. I knew that it was not, you know, going to parties is not something I'm going for the sake of the person, to celebrate them, you know, but I'm not the partying type of person. I love gospel music, so you wouldn't find me listening or saying to any other thing. Yeah. I don't drink, I don't smoke. I mean, I might take a little, you know, Baileys and during Christmas time, but yeah, that's it. I wouldn't do the outrageous things that young people see as a big thing now, because yeah, I have had the experiences that I needed to have, and also because I'm not willing to compromise on certain values, I don't put myself into situations where I know that I will regret it. I've also lived vicariously through the lives of others, so I know what not to do. Yeah, I know what not to do, because I've always said to myself, when I was younger, I would always say to myself, learn from what other persons have done, learn from their mistakes. It doesn't mean that it may be the same thing in every case. It doesn't mean that it may be the same thing in your case. But when you learn from persons, you put yourself in a better position to know how to operate. And so I've seen persons become so drunk after parties that they can't even take care of themselves. Yeah. I am already clinical about me on an ordinary day, much less if I can't think clearly and somebody else has. No, it's not going to happen. Yeah. So it's not going to happen. Yeah. There are a lot of things that I see young people doing today, and I'm like, I can't do those things because one, my purpose is one that's greater than me. And so if I put myself in those positions to do those things, what impact, what influence, what will I really be saying to persons? And my ultimate aim, my ultimate purpose is to please God. And so I do my best, try my best to ensure that I refrain from doing things that will otherwise bring, that will not bring glory to Him. And there are times when I do slip up and I fall short, but thankfully, and because of Him, I'm able to find myself, ask for forgiveness, and do what's better. So I don't put myself into, and I don't allow myself to be pressured. Yeah. If nothing else, my pastor said to someone, I didn't know, but the person told me afterwards, I can't give you it verbatim, but he said to the person that I am in essence resilient, or I'm not someone to allow persons to make up my mind for me. I make up my mind. And if I make up my mind, you have a hard time convincing me otherwise. It is only if I see the utility of doing it, then I'll do it. And so, well, while social media is something that is big and everybody wants to do this and that to be famous, there are a lot of times when I reserve opportunities, and there's some that I do take and I put out there, because I do know, and I'm more conscious now more than ever, that there are other persons that are looking up to me. They want to see how to do it. They want to know how to do it. So I find that by just being myself on social media, it actually helps others who do not know how to get to this point. And so my purpose is not to imitate someone else, because I'll be leading those who are looking up to me astray. So I try my best to ensure that when it comes to peer pressure, even if I have to stand alone, I stand. And even if standing alone is painful, I find my solace in Jesus. And I say, God, this isn't easy, but help me. And he's given me a family, a praying family, yeah, that has been behind me. My mother, she has been behind me. And I mean, she's my one of my very good friends, very close friend. And so there are things that I can't ordinarily share that I would share with her. And I will get that strength, even if it's just from one person. Yeah. And God, yeah, I get that strength to be able to move forward for every situation.
Excellent, excellent. And I totally understand what you mean about the peer pressure. I'm not a drinker, I'm not a smoker, never have been. Like you said, you know, I want to be in, not so much in control, but I want to be able to make decisions for myself, not under the influence of something else. You know, okay, something goes wrong, it's a decision I made, you know, not because there was some undue influence. So yeah, I totally understand, yeah, what you mean about that. So Jubilante, if you could choose your own mentor, we may know the answer, but there may be more on this now having spoken to you, who would it be and why?
Okay. So if I could choose my own mentor, the main one that is, because yeah, I believe that there are persons who have specific skills for specific purposes and they would be ideal mentors, but if I had to choose my main mentor, it would always be God.
Yeah.
Jesus, I believe, and I've learned so much, even though I've learned so much from person, I have also learned a lot about life from God. And everything that I have learned from reading the Bible, from praying, from communicating with him, they have helped me in every way, in every aspect of my life. And some persons may want to know, what do you mean by that? I've had personal encounters when it comes to my academics where there are courses, areas that I didn't understand how to become better at them. And I would always find myself, yes, I'm the resilient person that would push and try to get my work done. But if you don't understand the work, it's not ringing any bells, how are you going to go forward? And I found myself one time when I had an economics exam, I said, God, I said, I don't know what I'm doing in this course. I don't know what to do. I don't have any friends that will help me. So please give me guidance. And I found that when I opened that book, and this was after several tries. And then I said, hey, I know a God that created the heaven and the earth that has more knowledge than me. Why am I doing this to myself? And so I prayed, and I found that when I opened the book, and I started to read, the things started to make sense. And I started to do the work, the things started to make sense. And I was like, well, I said, God, I should have asked you earlier. And so after that encounter, I found that my academic prowess has only been because of the grace of God, because of his guidance. So many times I have been able to understand and to achieve different things because he has given me the guidance to do it. And it's not limited to academics. It's not limited to small studies. Even at university, I have tested and proven God, but also in business. There were times when I needed advice on how to write this letter, how to approach this person or talk to them. And a lot of times, because the industry I'm in, they're more mature persons, especially yeah, males, yeah, I have to know how I'm approaching them. And so I couldn't get those skills from another person who may have a vested interest, or someone else who may not know how to. So I said, God, I said, look, I don't know how to respond to this email. I don't know how to write this letter. Guide my hand, help me. And there were times when I did that. And a lot of these persons, they were shocked to know that such a correspondence could come from me. But it didn't come from me. It came from the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from me. And so a lot of times I was saved, even in business, because my mentor, he ensured that he guided me. He took care of me so that I wouldn't fall into unnecessary trouble. And so aside from business and studies, I believe that there are life skills that a mentor should always invest into a person. And I know that not everyone, I don't love people and the people I have as mentors, but there are certain life skills that God has taught me that come hard, but it is after a long time of practice you get it, like forgiveness. Mm-hmm. That's something that some persons, even some mentors say, oh, don't forgive them or don't talk to them, or you're the bigger person in this picture. But sometimes it is truly humility that a situation can be resolved, as opposed to you coming off as the bigger person in the picture. And so there are a lot of times when I may be in the right, but then God is like, no, humble yourself and apologize, or humble yourself and do this or do that. And so while that's hard, while that's tough to do, because I mean, I'm a person, while that's tough to do, God is like, do it for my sake. And when I do it, some situations that I didn't think would be resolved, the way that they ended up being resolved, I was like, wow, wow. So it's unorthodox for somebody to say that they would want their main man to be God, but I have found a lot of strength and solace. And a lot of times when there weren't even persons to give me strength and solace and to be there and to talk to me, I found myself just saying, God, look, it's just me and you right now.
Yeah,
let's talk. And so we talk, and I'm able to find that peace, resolve, protection, strength, and safety. He is amazing, and I wouldn't be where I am today without the grace of God.
Excellent, excellent. Now, we're going to answer the last couple of questions now. This is probably quite poignant because it is Saturday at 10 o'clock. So where would we normally find you, apart from talking to me today, where would we normally find you on Saturday at 10 o'clock?
On Saturday at 10 o'clock, I would be resting, sleeping, probably taking my third or fourth turn. Or I'd be awake working. Sometimes you do early morning cleaning so that in the afternoon you can focus on your work or something. Or I would otherwise be preparing to go to the school library. Now that I'm here studying.
Yeah.
So Saturday morning could be a range of things depending on how hard or how easy Friday night was.
Excellent, excellent. So Gibraltar, what's your definition of success so far?
My definition of success so far, and I've tested many, but this is the one that I will stick with. For now, and just in case, but this one is fulfilling God's purpose. And I find that if I do that to the best of my abilities, fulfilling His purpose, I will feel successful. And even if I don't achieve or attain completing this task or this mission with the abilities that I thought I should have, I always learn from that encounter. And I'm always striving to, God, I want to fulfill your purpose. What is the best way I can do this? What is the best way I can get it done? And I find that as long as we make our purpose, we make our will subject to His, He will definitely ensure that we achieve success. We achieve the things we needed to achieve. I don't know if I can share a little story here.
Yeah, of course you can.
But this was in line with my journey and me actually being where I am today. I have so many dimensions of myself that, you know, I have to bracket them off, academics, but, you know, because there's so many encounters. But when it comes to the definition of success and me speaking about subjecting my will to His will, I remember when I was about 14 or 15, my church youth group had an activity where they had all of the young people prepare 10 to 15 year timelines. At that age, I envisioned taking every step that I have taken academically up to this point. And the timeline ends when I receive my legal certificate of practice. I committed that would have been my timeline. Well, at that time I was, you know, as a young person, I want to be this, I want to be that. But yeah, the level of challenges I encountered during being from there to now, during the process, I was like, I don't want to be this anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to be this. I don't know what I want to be.
Yeah.
And every time when I found myself, like, I don't know, I don't know what to be, the timeline always came to my mind. And every time I tried to deviate, God would say, okay, you come back. But would you believe that after this 10-year timeline has expired, I have made, and during this process and times before, I have made no steps or no attempts to create a new timeline. I've not gotten any inspiration to do so. And so I just thought to myself, like, God, well, you brought me this far, and everything after this timeline is up to you. But for now, my measurement of success has been the fact that for the past 10 or 9 or 8 years, I have lived a timeline that I only envisioned as a young person years ago, and now I'm really at the end of the road, and so I have been able to measure, wow, I've achieved and covered the grounds. And so I would say when I look at that model of success, sometimes I would say that model is not a true representation, because it gives you the deadlines and timelines, but it does not capture the experiences that you encounter to get there. Yeah. And so that's why ultimately I resolved that my definition of success would be fulfilling God's purpose, because at the end of the day, I can set so many things, but the journey to get into those things are so tough sometimes that it can't be only in setting those things, but it's how you walk, and it's what your ultimate goal is to be. And that is, so my ultimate goal, which really is my success mission, is fulfilling God's purpose.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And I love the fact that you kind of, yes, we're always taught to look forward and look what's ahead, but you've taken that time to stop and say, actually, when it gets a bit tough, how far have I come? You know, and wow, I really did that. You know, when you take that time just to stop and reflect on what's happened, you can really amaze yourself at, you know, how much you have actually achieved. And then you don't feel so bad. You're like, well, actually, wow, I've done quite a bit here. I've done quite a bit. So, yes, I totally understand that. So, Jubilanti, lastly, what does it mean to you to be your own hero?
This is an interesting question. It's interesting because I've never thought of myself as being my own hero. Because again, coming back to, you know, the mindset of us, and you know, as women too, our mindset is never really to see ourselves as the hero. We're always looking for someone else to be that hero. But if I had to be my own hero, I would be the girl who humbly but unashamedly stands up for justice and the truth. I would be the girl who does things with good intentions and a pure heart. The girl who knows when to be quiet and when to speak. The girl who knows what to say and when to say it. The girl who receives wisdom to live well and peaceably with all, especially those who are considered to be difficult. So to be my own hero, it wouldn't be Superman.
Yes.
Or, you know, it would be someone who has learned enough to live well with everyone. And living well with everyone does not mean that you have to compromise. It's just that you need to know how to treat with different types of persons and to bring yourself to the point to meet them.
Excellent, excellent. So really, it's to be comfortable with who you are.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Jubilanti. If anybody wants to get in touch with you and learn more about your work and what you're doing, how can they do that?
Okay. I'm on all social media platforms that you can ever imagine or think of. I am that versatile. I am on Instagram, and my name is Jubilanti Cutting. My URL is, you know, a little tricky for persons to understand, but it's really my name. It's J_JO, my middle name, _C, 21, my favorite number. That's on Instagram, but you can just search for Jubilanti on all social media platforms. On Facebook, I have a Facebook page as well as my personal page, so you can like my Facebook page as well as add me on the personal page. I'm on LinkedIn as well. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Tumblr. You name it.
You're on all of them. I'll put all the links in the show notes, everybody, as well.
With the same name. Very versatile on Google as well, so you can check for me on Google+. In addition to that, should I give my contact number? No. I'll give my email. My personal email contact is joa nnajuana.jubilante, jubilante at gmail.com. I'm frequently on my personal email, so I prefer to give it rather than a business email. That way I can always stay in touch and respond as promptly as I can to emails and correspondences that come through. I love using the email, WhatsApp, and Instagram platforms, or Twitter, right, depending on the contact. Now I've become more immersed into LinkedIn and I love it, but I don't really like Facebook. Mm-hmm. So if you try to reach me on Facebook, yes. So that's, I'm on Facebook, but fun. I don't like to interact on Facebook.
No problem.
All of these social sites, and you can also follow the Guyana Animation Network on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on LinkedIn. You can follow us on Instagram as well, at Animate Guyana.
Excellent. Yeah. And I will definitely, as I said, put all the links in the show notes for anyone who wants to keep in touch with Jubilante. And on that note, I want to say thank you so, so much for joining me this week. I know there are big things ahead for you. Definitely big things ahead for you. Thank you so much for joining me this week.
Thank you so much. And continue to do phenomenal work. Continue to work with young women and women like us who are striving to become better versions of ourselves. This podcast is a really great opportunity to show that this woman can. So it doesn't matter where we come from, where we've come from, or challenges or struggles, your platform has provided the opportunity for us to share. And whatever it is that we have shared that could be of impact to anyone, that is phenomenal. And it's because you provided the platform. So thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to share. And I will definitely share the fact that we have spoken online, so that persons would know how to find you, how to reach you, how to reach your business, and to even check out the podcast and other podcasts that have been aired. So I know that the young women that follow me, they'll have a wealth of resources.
Definitely.
That you have interviewed, and I must say that I've checked your website, and it's amazing to know that you have free resources online for us to know better career-wise. So I was like, this is commendable. And I wanted to say thank you. Thank you. You are doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, that was a fabulous Jubilante cutting. What a fantastic conversation. I really love that. We probably talked a little bit longer off air as well. This is a lady who's got a lot going for her. I think one of those women where you kind of know big things are going to happen. And there are a few things I picked up from her that I really liked, were things about being intentional about failure, about really taking some time to really look at if you have failed, where you failed, what caused that failure, and how do you intend to make sure it doesn't happen again? What steps you can put in place to make sure, you know, you don't fail again? We talked about, you know, just your values, really knowing what your values are and not compromising what those values are. So I'll probably later on do a session about values, about looking at your values that you guys can do, and you can see the fit in and see if you're living your life with passion, purpose, and to your values. So I also made reference there about my book, This Woman Can, The No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. It is available on Amazon and Kindle. In that book, I tackle a load of subjects I think you will find highly relevant, from handling bullies to setting boundaries to pivoting in your career. It's a great read. So please head along to Amazon. I'll put a link in the show notes, but you'll definitely find me under Amazon. Just type my name, Janice Sutherland, or This Woman Can, The No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. And you'll find a copy there, lickety split. So all that remains to be said is thank you so much for being my guest this week. So thank you so much for joining me and listening to This Woman Can. If you could do me another huge favor, as ever, I always ask you to rate, subscribe, and share the show with everybody you know, and help me to get the word out to even more women. So until next time, remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care.
You've been listening to the This Woman Can podcast, brought to you by This Woman Can, the no bullshit guide for women who lead, available on Amazon and Kindle. For more information about the training and consulting services offered for women who lead, including one-on-one executive coaching and group masterminds, visit thiswomancan.coach.